can literally change the world. I mean, one person at a time. See, first it changes us, and then it changes others that are around us. You know, one of the most well-known parables in the Bible is the parable of the soils. I mean, this is a well-known passage and reflects foundational truths about living in the kingdom of God. Yet, though, if any have ever heard about it applied to giving. Read with me, Matthew chapter 13. We're going to start with verse 3. It says, "Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell on the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on the rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seeds fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let him hear." The disciples came to him and asked, "Why do you speak to these people in parables?" He replied, "Because the knowledge of the secret of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, where it says, you will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's hearts has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes because you see, and your ears because they hear. For truly, I tell you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. Now listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth chokes the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on good soil, it refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. See, there is a link between sowing or obeying God and reaping, you know, having the results from God. See, God controls the nature and extent of the harvest. First of all, we need to understand with your heart. Verse 19. See, the parable is first and foremost about how we receive spiritual truth. We understand with our hearts, not just our heads. I mean, a key insight, you know, the way that you hear determines how you will respond, and the way you respond determines how much you will reap in any area of the kingdom, of kingdom living that you are learning about. See, since this parable applies to kingdom living in general, it will also include the topic of giving. See, the four soils are pictures of four ways our heart responds to God's truth. And I think it's a mistake to interpret the four soils as simply just four types of people. It's much more complex. I mean, the four types of soil, they represent four types of heart responses. You know, first of all, the path, it's a hard heart, a resistant of God's truth. The stony soil. It's a superficial heart. A shallow commitment. There's the thorny soil. Divided heart. Compromising or fearful. And then there's the good soul, a receptive heart, a willing and eager. You see why it's not enough to just simply understand truth mentally? We have to receive it with our heart. And I want to have a willing heart, don't you? Second, receive the teaching with joy. Verse 20. See, attitude is important in everything, right? Attitude is important in everything. You know, Zeke and Zed, they were two good old boys who lived out west. They headed to the Rangers in Rocky Mountain National Park, where they were offering a $500 bounty for every wolf captured alive. The two of them headed off into the mountains determined to seek their fortune. They walked through forests and meadows, across mountains and deep into the valleys. They forged streams and climbed trees, but they never saw one even trace of a wolf. They laid down by the fire that first night, totally exhausted. Suddenly, in the middle of the night, Zeke was startled awake. The two of them were surrounded by at least 50 wolves, all of them baring their teeth and licking their chops. Zeke said to Zed, "Zed, wake up, we're rich." Now, I don't feel too good about his chances, but you have to like his attitude. See, the number one attitude to have is that God is a good God. He's good all the time. See, the proof of this fact is all over the Bible. I mean, listen to these examples. I mean, God is rich in provision. You know, Proverbs 3, 9 and 10 tells us, "Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing and your vats will brim over with new wine." See, God, He's got so much provision. And God is also rich in mercy. I mean, Ephesians 2, 4 says, "But because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved." And God is rich in wisdom. James 3:17 says, "But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere." See, we can receive teaching from God about giving with joy because the Lord is the one who brings the results. I mean, we can anticipate God doing great things. And thirdly, we need to persevere through the tough times. Verse 21. See, get ready. Challenges will come. I mean, obeying God does not mean we won't face temptations or troubles. The passage says that, first of all, troubles, and second, persecution will come. It says they will come because of the word, the teaching. But this tells us that the devil, he's real. But don't ever forget that God is with us. And He is all-powerful. See, we want to stay true to our commitment, because if we don't, this passage says that it actually a form of falling away. See, it's saying that we can lose our salvation if we don't. Is this saying that we can lose our salvation if we don't give? No, hardly no. That would violate other clear passages about God's grace. But it does mean we will fall back and stumble in our trust in God and our application of divine truth. Do you remember the story of Elisha and Gehazi and the invisible army? Well, over in 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 14 through 17, it says, "Then the king sent horses and chariots and a strong force there. They went by night and surrounded the city. And when the servant of the man of God got up and went out early in the morning, the next morning, an army with horses and chariots, they had surrounded that city. 'Oh, my Lord, what shall we do?' the servant asked. 'Don't be afraid,' the prophet answered. 'Those who are with us are more than those who are with them.' And Elisha prayed, 'Oh, Lord, open his eyes so he may see.' Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha." See, where we fix our attention makes a lot of difference in how we feel, the degree of our courage, and even the hope or lack thereof it, with which we face our future. God is with us. And we need to maintain God's perspective on money. Verse 22. See, always watch out for man's view of money. I mean, it is full of problems because men tend to be choked by, they choke by worries of this life. You know, finances, paying the bills. I mean, what's the future? I mean, there's also the deceitfulness of wealth. I mean, the world's economic system is very dangerous because of greed, uncertainty, and materialism. I mean, there are actually only four things you can do with money. Make it, save it, or spend it. And the Bible has a lot to say about each one, either specifically or in principle. And if you don't resist these issues with worldly wealth, two things will happen. You'll get choked up spiritually, and you'll miss out on God's harvest for you. I mean, have you noticed that in today's society, as technology is speeding up the pace of change, people are more and more reluctant to make long-term commitments? I mean, we don't want to be committed to anything. I mean, we don't want to commit to a long-term job. We don't want to commit to a long-term marriage. We don't want to commit to a long-term investments. We don't want to commit to a church. We don't want to commit to anything. I mean, in fact, if there is any operational attitude today, it's I want to keep my options open. I don't want to be tied down. I don't want to commit to anything because life is just a buffet, and I don't want to get to the end and say, oh, I filled my plate with all the wrong stuff. I mean, that's tragic because the fact is you can't live without making commitments. I mean, you can't buy a house without making a commitment. You can't get married without making a commitment. You can't even get a driver's license without making some sort of a commitment. I mean, nothing great ever happens without making commitments. I mean, if we go through life without making any commitments, we just drift without any focus. And fifth, we need to prepare for our great crop, verse 23. I mean, this is a supernatural thing. I mean, God brings 30, 60, and even 100 times the investment. I mean, in human strength, I mean, we are thrilled when an investment produces one, two, or three times what was invested. But 30, 60, 100 times what was sown. I mean, that's 300%, 600%, 1,000% return on the investment. But note the phrase, what was sown? See, the crop is based on the seed. I mean, hear, understand, and obey. I mean, you will see good things happen because this is God's word. See, when a person who's really wealthy, independent, smart, and good-looking does something significant, the world looks on with wonder. I mean, we talk about what a fine person he or she is. We admire them, maybe even envy them. But when a person of average means, average intelligence, ordinary looks, does something significant, we're more likely to recognize the hand of God. And when someone who's really broken overcomes through the power of God, we praise the Lord for His goodness, for His power in their lives. Now, it's not that God won't use smart, strong, good-looking, successful people. It's just that we all have to declare our dependence in order to receive God's strength. I'd like to share some words from a letter that I received from Mike Schrage. In a letter he wrote me, he said, "My world is full of generous people who support their churches, ministries, and charities through giving and prayer. They are motivated by the good accomplishments through those organizations. But recently, it seems there is an explosion of giving gimmicks. Buy one, we'll give one. Double your dollars. Give a car, get a Caribbean cruise." He goes on to say, "I am so happy that our God, the God of the universe, shows us the highest motivation for generosity. For God so loved that he gave. May your holiday season be full of fewer gimmicks and more true generosity. You see, God has already given us so much. I mean, he owns everything. He has provided. He gave us his son. Just like in the video we watched, who grew up to give his life for the world. That's everything. That's everything. And that is why we need to be generous to God. We need to be rich towards God. Pray with me. Father, we come to you because you are the God that has provided all things, that has created us, that has loved us, that you want the best for us. And you have provided so much of our needs, Father. And so, Father, we pray that as your children, as your followers, Father, that we can be generous with what you already gave us. That we can be so generous that we go to heaven with all those around us that do not know you, that they can come to know you. And Father, that we can be generous with our income, but Father, be generous with our time, be generous with that salvation that we have, that we can share it with those. Because Father, we know it's all about Jesus. And it's in his name I pray. Amen. The praise team is back up here, and we're gonna sing a song of decision. And if there's a decision that you need to make today for have the Jesus in your life, please, as we sing, come forward and say, I want Jesus in my life. I want him in my life that I can live for him. And if you need to make that decision today, come forward. Please stand and sing with us. At this time, prayer request. You can look on the back of your bulletin, and there's our names that are on our prayer list. And I just want to encourage you to keep them in your prayers, and that you just pray that God would surround them and heal them. But also, at this time, Peyton Nance is going to come forward, and Peyton is she is getting ready for surgery on her foot and leg and everything, and it's coming up on December 14th, and so she's getting really nervous about it, and It's going to be a long recovery after that, and you're going to have to learn how to walk all over again, and 9 weeks just laid up, and then over a year not being for recovery and stuff. So, but she's real nervous, and so we want to pray for her as she takes the surgery and everything works well for her. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we just do come to you right now because you are such an awesome God. You're the God that you tell us you will take care of us and take care of every need. And so, Father, we pray for those on our prayer list, Father, that you will just put your healing hand around them, that you will just heal them and be with them and use us, Father. But also, Father, we pray for Peyton as she is anticipating this this surgery, Father, and as she goes to St. Louis. And I pray that you will be with the doctors as they go in and they have to do the things in her foot that only you know that it's difficult, Father. But we pray that you will be the doctors that they can be guided safely and fix it right, Father. But we know there's going to be some pain involved, and so we pray, Father, that you will just be with Peyton as she recovers, and you will have a wonderful recovery, Father, that everything will just fit in place. But most of all, Father, we pray that you will just be with her and let her know that you love her. And Father, we know that she loves you as well. But most of all, Father, we pray this asking in Jesus' name. Amen.